Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
For some reason, I had this thing. Yeah, maybe you could get a fifth for Baker. I don't know why fifth-round pick popped into my mind this morning. We were talking about it before the show. And then listening to the sound, right, because Key had said, maybe you could get a fifth-round pick. It stuck in my mind.
Yeah.
But maybe you could get more than that for Baker Mayfield. Good morning, guys, by the way.
Morning.
Good morning, Max.
How are you doing? How are
you? A little under the weather.
Yeah.
Do you feel okay?
I need you to play through it, Max.
I'm playing through it.
Yeah.
No excuses. I tell you no lies. You know?
Okay. I don't need you to pull a Baker Mayfield and just tell us how bad you're feeling.
Oh yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
All this stuff.
Actually, my shoulder, my larynx.
Yeah, exactly.
You had to tell us that after the show. After the show is over. Well, guys, the reason why I didn't perform well, I'm feeling under the weather.
Didn't sleep a lot. I got throat jammy. The whole thing.
Throat jammy.
What? So Kevin's,
throat jammy. Kevin's, what the hell is a throat jammy?
You know, you got a sore throat, and you know the worst is like. If you like swallowing razor blades, that's what they need.
Hold on, Max. I've never heard throat jammy.
I've never heard it either. That's.
Can you guys play that back? Did he say throat jammy?
He said throat jammy. I was today years old when I heard that statement.
Yeah, today years old.
A throat jammy.
So Kevin, that's right. That's right.
That doesn't sound like
throat.
You're sick. Okay.
Well, what do you want me to tell you? It's like you're trying to somehow connect it to something else that it doesn't quite connect to.
I'm the immature one on the show. You guys all know
this. But you're looking for it. You're looking for it.
No, he's not looking for it. It's not there.
It says throat jammy.
Did you get it from context of what I said?
I don't know how to get it.
Yeah, you know
exactly. I'm starting to wonder about you.
Alternative right now.
Kevin Stefanski, the Browns head coach, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, you love me? What is that supposed to be? ESPN 850 Cleveland, the really big show. I want you to listen to this. Is Baker even being on the roster a distraction?
When we're here in the building, we're kind of just focusing what we have to focus on. And today, that's a walkthrough that I'm already late for, so I'm gonna. You guys got to write me a note here.
Okay.
But it's just – It's the situation that we're in, and we're making sure that we're focusing on what we can focus on. You know, we've talked about it. It is unique. I think everybody understands that. But for us, it's really treating it day by day and really not getting too far out ahead of it.
Are you confident it'll be resolved, Coach?
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. And I think, I think everybody would love a resolution, but these things are fluid. I think Andrew's talked about it. We'll continue to do what's best, ultimately, for the team at all times. But this is a unique situation, and I think everybody understands that.
Let me tell you what the resolution not going to be, Max. Baker Mayfield walking back into that Cleveland Browns locker room. They traded for Deshaun Watson, and they signed two other quarterbacks in free agency. Mm. They basically told Baker Mayfield, we want nothing to do with you. We are done with you. You were saying that you were done with us with the letter you sent to the fans through the Cleveland Playing Dealer. Okay, that's cool. We're done with you. We're so done with you that we are going to fully guarantee the contract of a quarterback that we're trading for with 22 pending civil cases against him.
For $230 million.
That's how much we don't want you. So there's no world in which Baker Mayfield is going to be a part of the Cleveland Browns in 2022. But the only thing that Cleveland –
And they got Brissett.
They got Brissett, and they signed Josh Dobbs, too. The only thing that the Cleveland Browns are waiting on is for a team to come through and offer them some kind of return on the investment that they're made. And they know it's not going to be a first-round draft pick. But if there's a team that's out there that's desperate enough, could they get a mid-round draft pick? If we're talking about a significant injury to a starting quarterback in training camp or early on in the regular season, I don't think that's outside of the realm of possibility. And here's the thing, Jay, that people have to understand. Right now, today, the Cleveland Browns have the second most cap space of anybody in the National Football League. Mm. So they don't have to move Baker Mayfield in order to handle their business. The $19 million that he's owed, that's already accounting on their salary cap. And they still got $24 million bucks of cap space. So they can hold on to Baker until something happens, and then try to see if a team's desperate and then move it.
Speaking of a team potentially being desperate, let's hear from Pete Carroll, the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks.
I don't see us, you know, making a trade for anybody that, at all. I don't see that happening. But we're certainly going to continue to be open to the chances to help our club. And meanwhile, we're just going to be battling and competing our tails off. But that, you know, there's always a possibility, so we keep open to that.
I love this setup. Did you hear it, CC?
I heard it.
That's a setup like, hey, look, we're not stressed about it. We know what time it is. But if we get it for the right value, then, you know, never say never. We can see where it is. Like, that's him holding his cards, not showing you what his hand is. But let's be honest about it, man. Drew Locke, Geno Smith, Jacob, like, those guys aren't the answer.
Yeah. Unless you want a high draft pick next year.
There you go. That's what you're contemplating.
But here's the thing. This is the first season in 2021 where Pete Carroll had a double-digit loss year.
Yep.
And Pete Carroll is the oldest coach in the National Football League. He ain't buying green bananas, as they say. Max, I don't know that he has the stomach for a rebuild type of situation. I don't know that he's going into 2022 and saying, we're going to wave the white flag for a draft pick, whether it's C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young or any of those other quarterbacks that are projected to go in the top round in 2023.
That was Pete Carroll on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM. And guys, the Panthers, oh, he's going to the Panthers. We don't want him here.
And they just drafted Matt Corral, too.
Exactly. Yeah, Seattle might Anderson want C.J. Stroud more than a year of Baker. Let's hear from you on the call-in line. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776, Daryl in New York.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
What up, D?
Good morning, Daryl.
What up? So, it's interesting. You bring up splitting the locker room, and that's exactly what Russell Wilson did back after they lost the Super Bowl to the Patriots. Like, that defense, they were all off board with him, and because of that, they lost the team, and they lost any chance of getting back to the Super Bowl.
Daryl, go into that a little bit.
What's that?
Could you go into that point further? I'm not sure what the point is.
Oh, it's to the point of distractions. Russell became the distraction, split that team.
Yep.
That team had so much talent, and because, you know, they threw the ball there.
You're talking about the Marshawn Lynch. You're talking about the idea not to. Okay, look, this is well known by this point in sports that the idea is, at least they wanted Russell Wilson to get the glory. It's his team now. He makes the final blah interception, and now the Patriots win instead of the Seahawks. Just hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch. He runs it in. You win the game. Assuming he does it successfully, it's Marshawn Lynch. I'm thinking he's going to get in there, right? A lot of people are. That split the team. Defensive guys going, what's – here's the reality, though. Defenses, and that was a great defense. If you talk about a generation of a defense in the NFL, Chris Canty, what's that, about 5 years? Something like that, right? And then there's some turnover. They start to get expensive just when they're getting a little older, not quite as good anymore. So that may have happened naturally anyway, but it does fit very neatly into that story. The difference between Russell Wilson and Baker Mayfield, Russell Wilson kept that team a powerhouse for years afterwards. They didn't get back to the Super Bowl, but they were winning double digits.
But they were in the divisional round. They were going to NFC Championship
games. He was
playing
great.
Yes. No, I mean, here's the thing. Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, they've only missed the playoffs twice, and they've been there over a decade. So there's no world in which we can say Russell Wilson is to blame for the Seahawks not being competitive at a championship level, because they're always in the tournament, Max. So that part of the argument doesn't make any sense. But when we start looking at the Seattle Seahawks now, the question is, can John Schneider and Pete Carroll do enough to retool this team on the fly and make it competitive so you could take advantage of having an experienced head coach while Pete Carroll still has the energy to coach?
Well, considering their track record, don't you trust in the Seattle Seahawks to pivot?
I don't know.
You don't know.
I haven't seen Pete Carroll without Russell Wilson. I mean, the 1 year that we did see him, they didn't make the playoffs. They had a losing record. I don't know what it's going to be without
them. They never had under double-digit wins in Seattle, except for until this last year. Yeah. Never, except for 1 year, they had 9 wins. Otherwise, all double digits and better with Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll.
Doesn't that give them the benefit of the doubt, Max?
They're in a real tough division, and it's a quarterback-rich draft next year. If you're Seattle, do you want to compete for 7 or 8 wins and then not wind up with one of those quarterbacks? Or would you rather, we'll rock with Drew Locke, whoever else, and we'll wind up with a real high draft pick and grab a quarterback.
Well, you still got the draft pick from the Denver Broncos, though, and you have your own first-round draft pick. So it's not like you can't
make a move.
It's not like you can't move up the draft board if you're Pete Carroll. So I don't necessarily know that this is going to be a situation where they tank. I think they have too much pride in that organization.
Agreed.
In the culture that Pete Carroll has established. If you're more competitive, you can develop some of the younger players that are going to play an integral role in that team when you do get the young quarterback.
So maybe they do get Baker eventually. This is Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, Chris Canty in for Keyshawn today. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, coming to you live from the Seaport District, Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Guys, I'm telling you right now, you bristle when I talk about, CP3's legacy is, could be enhanced or diminished based on what happens in the playoffs. Steph Curry's legacy will be affected by the next game he plays in. That's on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey,
Keyshawn, hey, Jay, Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
Oh, wow, guys.
Chris Canty in for Key, and we are joined by Monica McNutt.
Go ahead, CeCe. Do that old man dance.
Just an old man dance.
God, don't move from the seat.
I'm too big to be doing a whole lot in the club, man. I'm too big for all of that, dog.
CeCe, all the energy.
Like, this guy didn't move from his seat for 2.5 hours.
Wait, what do you weigh? Chris, what did you say?
I'm 6'8", 340 pounds.
340.
Sheesh. It's a big dude right there.
Well, it helped out in my line of work. I played defensive tackle in the NFL.
I'm sure about that. Definitely.
Monica is here giving you the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. You got the sweatshirt on, Monica. And WNBA season tips off tonight.
Today, this was a deliberate wear this morning. Super excited. Listen, there's so much going on with teams and final rosters. And Jay just asked me who's my favorite. Last night, I think I said my favorite is the Aces to finally get over the hump behind new leadership of Becky Hammond. Okay. But also, like, Chicago returns its four core. Mm. Can't sleep on them. Like,
hey, Candace.
There's just a lot. If my home team, shout out to the Washington Mystics, if Elena Deladon and Alicia Clark are indeed healthy and going to contribute, watch out. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, can we talk about, if you're a professional athlete or a guy who's a fan of WNBA, stop asking for free gear. Take your ass online, support the WNBA, and buy some gear.
I'm just saying, Jay, the way my credit card and my bank account work.
Like, hey, we need to get some gear, Monica. I'm like, go buy it.
Get the breaks conversation out your mouth.
Nah, you know what it is, Jay?
And also, you just said he's 6'8", 340.
Evan got a free hoodie.
Yeah.
Makes me feel like I should get a free hoodie.
Wait, Evan, you got a free hoodie. More sizes for Evan or for you?
He didn't get a free hoodie.
No, I didn't get a free hoodie. I was angling for a free hoodie. Oh. There's a difference.
Big difference.
Well, Evan's in kid size.
So you'll call me out, but you don't want to call Evan out.
It'll cost less. That's fine for Evan.
Okay.
Get my shoe size name out your mouth.
You guys.
Billy, you're so stupid.
So stupid.
Yeah. I got to give you one of those.
In the NBA, Monica.
There's your transition, Max.
Here is my theory.
That's hard left turn.
That's right.
Max is the king of transitions. I love it.
Why mess around? Yeah. Why? I'm going to construct something like, well, it's interesting, and let me somehow make this blend into that. Just say it. What are we doing here?
Here we go. Pivot. Let's do it.
Here is my theory, okay?
Let's get it.
And people hate when I say it's big for Chris Paul's legacy, but it is both ways. Like, if you fail, that part of the story. If you succeed, I think Chris Paul might chip up this year. Huge for him, right? Steph Curry, who has never been a finals MVP, has played in five finals.
God.
This is the fact of the matter. Who's had a lot of bad finals, like games. Like, for example, the biggest choke in history of American team sports, game 7 at home, fourth quarter, against the Cavs. Okay? He just got out. The best player in the series so far has been Ja Morant. Clearly and by far, he's the best player in that series. Missed the last shot to win, so they lost game 1. But then Memphis came back. They bullied him. Ja went for 47-1. Now Steph's at home. I'm telling you, Memphis doesn't have Dylan Brooks. Steph's got to win this game, and he's got to be the best player on the floor at some point, Monica. To that, you say what?
I do think the Warriors will win this game. I'm not sold that Steph will be the best player on the floor, and it's okay.
Okay. Why wouldn't he be the best player on the floor?
If Klay, who's been in the topic of conversation as of lately, goes off, right? That's not a bad guy to be one-upped by. If the pool party should happen to continue, also something that you can deal with. It's a credit to the Warriors organization in terms of their development. Steph is a key. There's no doubt about that. But I think the nature of the Warriors system and where Steph is in his career.
Where is he in his career?
He's won already. The finals MVP is the hang-up for you in terms of his
legacy? Yes, that's the hang-up for Max.
No, but it's reflective MVP. Of the fact
that's
that
the one caveat for Max.
It's reflective of the fact that he has not been as good as he normally is as the stakes rise in the playoffs.
But he still has the hardware, and he's never left his organization. Guys want to come play with him. I hear where you're coming from.
That is a great point. Yeah. He's part of a team that people want to play with, and he creates that atmosphere.
Right, and so in many ways, I don't know, Jay and Cantor, you tell me if I'm wrong. I think in many ways, some of the guys that have the individual accolades would easily trade what Steph has been able to be a part of. And so I don't think that affects his legacy one way.
But, you know, when you say be a part of, I just want to take people through it. 2015, they would have obviously lost to the Cavs. It went 6 games, and Kyrie and Kevin Love were out, right? It was so bad they had to give the MVP to the guy who guarded LeBron because LeBron was by so far the MVP of the series, right? They were lucky that the Cavs got hurt, or they never win that one.
Okay.
The next year, they actually lost. Mm-hmm. The following 2 years, KD comes. There's no way to lose now. You're already a great team. You add KD, you beat any team that was ever constructed. So they crushed everybody, right? But KD won the – I have not yet – and then he lost to Kawhi. I'm not holding that against him. His whole team was hurt, and he played great. But still didn't win. I have yet to see a no-excuses Steph-led Warriors team win a championship. And like, so here, they could get stopped by Memphis Monica.
They did win a championship before KD got there.
Right, but LeBron was playing with Dela Vedova as his second best player. Kyrie and Kevin Love got hurt.
Let's go back to your point, though. You said a Steph Curry-led team. He led team to a championship.
A no-excuses championship. It was very clear to me.
Hold on.
At the end of that
series.
In
whose opinion, these excuses come from you.
Hold on, stop. Because y'all have the whole show, so I just want to make sure I have this conversation before I have to go. I don't think that is vital. And I think when you look at the way that Steph has changed the game and the organization that he has been an absolute cornerstone to, I don't think that is absolutely vital. I think him not having to always do that is a testament to what he, like what literally was built in Golden State around him.
One of the greatest players of all time. I'm never arguing against that. I'm saying people want to put him in the top 10. Not a lot of room there, right? To me, you got to at some point, like Jay is thinking about, can I get Steph in the top 10 all time? A lot of people think like that.
He's the greatest shooter the game has ever seen.
But you got to answer to what I'm saying, though, if you want to talk.
But you're saying the one caveat. I'm sorry. You're saying the one caveat is him not being a finals MVP. If he wins a fourth championship, regardless of how he gets there, Max, you know, we like to fixate on how a player gets there, but this is about moments. So you're telling me if they get by this team and Steph doesn't have a polarizing moment, but then versus Phoenix with CP3, he does have a moment. Like, you're going to
I'm saying that they won't get by Memphis if Steph doesn't start. Like, at some point, after they just got bullied, they lost by a guy who dropped 47. Same size as Steph, by the way, Ja Morant, right? He's also, if that guy comes to your home court, game 3, and wins a pivotal game 3 and outplays you, I think Memphis goes on to win the series. That's what I'm saying.
And you're saying that's going to diminish Steph's value.
His legacy.
It's not an issue of diminish. It's when you talk about getting into the top.
You want him to be that dude.
Yes.
No question.
I get where you're coming from.
I do think it's necessary. To me, the fact that he's been able to be so successful without that moment, so to speak, to use your frame, your terminology, speaks to, again, what he has. The Warriors are not the Warriors if they don't draft Steph Curry.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying? So I mean,
you're making
you.
The best counter-argument. This is something I understand. It's an excellent argument.
I got where you're coming from. Like, you want the NFT moment that goes crazy because Steph shut it down. I get it.
That's what an
NFT is. Is that a championship?
I don't buy it.
That's what an NFT is.
It's a finals MVP?
Oh,
wow, I just don't understand, Max, when you look at the resume, man. Two-time scoring champ. He's got two MVPs, one unanimous. One of the greatest players of all time.
He's revolutionized
how you play the game.
The only unanimous MVP in the history of basketball.
And by the way, if you look back, that's nonsense because that's a regular season award. And in the finals, when it mattered most, LeBron was so much better, it wasn't worth talking about.
Draymond getting kicked out for one game in that series was ultimately the turning
LeBron
point.
LeBron also did that.
He averaged 27 in that series, by the way. Go ahead, Monica.
This is part of the Michael Jordan argument, which I get. I get where you're coming from. Yeah. And I think it's a fair argument. I personally don't subscribe. That's all.
All I'm saying is...
Meanwhile, on planet Earth, Monica.
But hold on, CeCe.
Okay.
I just want to stay on this for 1 second. I just want to clarify. You used the LeBron thing to hurt Steph.
I'm not hurting LeBron. How am I hurting him? You got to earn into the top 10.
You used the LeBron thing to diminish Steph in that moment, right? Essentially, because you're
using
saying,
it. I'm just counting stuff up. I'm just looking, observing, and then ranking.
Is LeBron James one of the top three greatest players who ever played a game of basketball?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to clarify that point, because you're comparing him to one of the greatest players to ever do it. Maybe top two of all time, Michael Jordan.
But like, if you're unanimous MVP, what that ought to mean, there's no, like, you know, in a league where the only important thing is actually the postseason, because no MVP ever comes from a non-playoff team. Most of the teams make it to the playoffs. Literally, over 50% of the teams make it to the playoffs.
Now they do.
I'm not even then, 8 out of 15 is more than 50%. So, to not observe what happens when the games actually matter, and to say, oh, that doesn't matter, he was unanimous MVP, re-vote on that after the playoffs, he wouldn't have gotten a vote. It would have been LeBron. So even that, oh, he's the first unanimous MVP. I thought they were going to win the series. I thought it would be because of Steph. They didn't. And partly it was because Steph choked in game 7 in the fourth quarter.
I just don't like the fact that you diminish playing 82 games or somebody who's never played a game before. You don't know how hard it is to have that level every single game, every single night.
He's one of the greatest players. He's the greatest player ever, 6'3 or under. Right? I get it. The game selects out for size, though.
It is a fascinating conversation, because as much of a literal game changer as Steph has been, you could certainly nitpick clutch performance in the postseason.
I'm with you on that.
Which is fair, but I think in the conversation of the greats, you got to look at it in totality. I'm not willing to hold that against him, especially because ultimately, more times than not, he's wound up with the hardware.
He has, again, no question.
But
you're right.
It is still a team sport.
It's like me trying to – one of the reasons basketball is a barbershop sport, right? You talk about it like boxing, is of all the team sports, it's the – this is changing a little because football, the quarterback is now so important. People do this with quarterbacks. But it's the easiest team sport to reduce, even if it's unfair, to the number one character involved, right?
So,
and make it almost as though it's a fighter.
So just to stick with you on barbershop, though, because, Max, you are such an intelligent guy and you do this for a living. I do not expect to walk into a barbershop, typically, unless somebody was just listening to you, and somebody reduces Steph to what he did not do in the postseason.
But you might say, is he top 10 of all time? You might hear that, and someone say, how could he be top 10 of all time? Who are you taking out?
But I never say he's top 10 of all time. I say he's trending in that direction when it's all said and done.
Okay, yes. Jay, this is what I mean. Monica. This is what I mean. Everyone always hears the negative. Oh, media guy saying he's trying to set him up for the negative. There's an upside and a downside.
I got you.
Thrill of victory, agony of defeat. It's not all about the downside. There's also the upside.
I got you.
Let Steph beat back a young Ja, right, and get there and win the chip this year. That adds, Jay. I'm not trying to diminish him. I'm just want to observe where he lands.
But, okay, now if the Warriors beat the Grizzlies, but Steph does not ascend to whatever level to the NFT moment, are you still not satisfied?
No, if they win, they win. My prediction is they don't win, because Ja, if Steph doesn't step up, if he allows Ja to be the best player in the series, I don't think they're going to win.
I disagree with your own assessment of yourself.
Okay.
Because I know you. I've been around. We've been together for a good year now every single day. I know what you will do if Steph does not play well and they still win. You're still going to say there's something for him to prove. I know you, Max.
Probably.
That's where the argument is going.
Probably, but Monica makes a very good point. It's a team sport, and Steph his style of play, the way he plays, his excellence has created four championships. Like, that has happened. I can't say 100%. That hasn't happened.
Y'all not going to let me get Monica's take on the Dylan Brooks suspension?
No, because we have to go to break. Monica, do you want to stay?
Yeah. Can I?
Look, just force
her hand. She has things to do.
I got
to
do my eyelash. I got to get up. Here's my deal on Dylan Brooks' take. I mean, my thing on Dylan Brooks. I don't love the suspension. I understand it. I think compared to the Grayson Allen play, which is the closest thing, transition, take a guy out of the air, I get it. Mm. But in this series, like, you're what, an inch maybe from Brandon Clark cracking a clavicle? Was that going to be a suspension as well?
That's what I said. That's what I said with Draymond Green.
That's where I'm at. That's
what
I'm at.
Monica McNutt, ladies and gentlemen. The great Monica McNutt. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Seahawks would not let Russ cook.
Wow.
I can't say what I'm... Someone wrote this for me. Will they let Baker bake? Keyshawn, J. Will and Max with Chris Canty in for Key today. ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, joined by ESPN senior NFL writer Jeremy Fowler.
Nah, because you're always on me about my old man Bop, and that was absolutely an old man two-step right there.
There it is.
Just that's it spot. Right there. Just one spot. Just stay
Don't
right
move.
Here.
Yes.
10 and 2 right here. Just
that's Jeremy
right
in the club.
10 and 2.
Keep it tight.
By the way, low key, Jeremy can recite lyrics of rap songs. Like, he won't blow your mind. Like, okay. We eventually need to have him on here dropping bars.
Got you.
Just trying to tell y'all.
Yeah, speaking of barbershop, he looks like he could be in a barbershop quartet in the 50s, but he's dropping bars.
I always keep a hot 16 ready to go.
So we got Jack Harlow versus Eminem. I like it. Let's go. Let's go.
Max, so, you know who Jack Harlow is?
Jack Harlow. Eminem? Who's this Eminem?
He's a boxer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. 130-pounder. Kevin Stefanski on the Baker Mayfield situation says everyone wants a resolution, but these things are fluid. Hot news or not news, Jeremy Fowler?
I'm going to go hot news right now because it's not news what he said. It's what he said signifies coming off of the draft and what the next 2 months could look like here. This could get ugly. The Browns are trying to salvage anything here, and teams around the league are not doing them any favors. I mean, there are even whispers. I've talked to teams that said, like, look, everybody's going to wait this out and force Cleveland to release him, partly out of embarrassment because they went and did the Watson deal, and now they're stuck with this guy in $19 million. Nobody's going to pay them anything. Maybe a couple million to relieve the Browns on a trade and a throw-in seventh-round pick, but it just doesn't look good right now. So the Browns, I'm told, are willing to sit on this and, like,
the wait source, for an injury.
A source told me, "What's the rush right now? We don't have mini camp for another, you know, month, and you know, we could probably excuse him from that if he doesn't want to show up or if he just wants to show up and be in the background. But like, there's no urgency now that the draft's over." And they could just wait to see what happens around the league.
But, Jeremy, that's why I think this is hot news. Because you know us as the media, we are relentless. And every time something happens, we're going to keep asking you about this. So just Kevin Stefanski and company, look forward to being at every podium and answering questions about Baker Mayfield over and over and over again.
See, I disagree. I think it's not news. This is something that we knew had the potential to play out into training camp, into the regular season. I guess the only question I have for you, Jeremy, is, what are going to be the possible landing spots for Baker? Because it seems like after draft day weekend, a lot of those destinations dried up. The Carolina Panthers drafted a quarterback.
Yeah,
I mean, you hear what the Seattle Seahawks are saying about trading for a quarterback. It just doesn't seem like there's an obvious destination. Even the Atlanta Falcons drafted Desmond Ritter in the third round. So where's Baker Mayfield going to end up if it's not Seattle?
He would have to be released, I think, for there to be interest. Now, I do think multiple teams would have interest at that point because the expectation of being a former number one pick and the money are all gone.
As a starter or just as depth at the quarterback position?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Seattle, I still think, despite what Pete Carroll said, they would explore it if he's released. Not as a trade, but if he's released, they would throw him in the mix or at least look into the option of signing him. But right now, there's not a set team that's in on trading for him. There's just not.
He ain't tall. He ain't fast. Shocking. He's not good in the locker room is the reputation anyway right now. Those three things are not good. Pete Carroll says he doesn't see the Seahawks trading for a quarterback. Is that hot news, Jeremy, because of what you just said about Baker?
No, that's not news. It would be hot news last week coming into the draft if that was an option for them day two or day three to make a swing for Mayfield. But not news right now. The bigger news is that it doesn't look like DK Metcalf's getting traded. You know, they're talking about him and trying to get a deal done with him. A couple months ago, it maybe felt a little differently, especially with the way things are going with the receivers, what we saw with A.J. Brown. Right now, Metcalf is a Seahawk.
Jalen Hurts says, it's my opportunity, it's my team, Jeremy. Is that hot news or not news?
I'm going to go not news. I like the conviction, and he's right. He's got a year. I mean, the pressure's on, right? They have built a winner around him, it looks like. They're built for 2023 and go get a quarterback in that draft if they want to, mm-hmm. unless Jalen Hurts proves otherwise that they should not. And so he's got 17 games to make that happen.
I can see how fans would think this is not news because everybody kind of expects it. Of course, it's your team, Jalen. Like, they, you know, they mm-hmm. traded Carson Wentz. They gave you the keys. Yep. But to me as an athlete, CC, I think this is hot news because yep. I like when I hear a player say, oh, no, I recognize what time it is and I acknowledge it to the public. And I want everybody to know that you can put that responsibility on my shoulders. And I'm willing to state yep. it so you can recognize that.
Yeah, I appreciate that from Jalen Hurts. But I know it's not news.
Yeah.
I mean, we expected this. And we knew this going back to last year's draft when it was five quarterbacks to go in the first round and the Eagles were sitting at number six and they traded back a couple of times. Mm. So you're talking about the ownership being behind giving yeah. Jalen Hurts a fair shake to prove that he's the answer. And if he doesn't, we got options. But if he does, then you're talking about a contract extension after 2022, because yeah. ain't no fifth-year option on Jalen Hurts, cuz.
All right, how about this? John Lynch said this week that trade talks on Jimmy G, they were having him, came to a, quote, screeching halt after shoulder surgery. Is that hot news or not news,
John
Jeremy?
John Lynch said that?
Yep.
I'm going to go not news because it sounds convenient for him to say now. But they're just, he had the shoulder surgery like 2-3 months ago. So this would have been hot news if he would have said that back in February around the combine. But now he says it after the draft. Oh yeah, we couldn't trade him. Well, okay. That's great. But you know, you've had time to try to get this done. You still have $26 million on the books. Now I'm told the 49ers have been comfortable holding on to that because they feel like they can do whatever they need around free agency and the draft until it's time to deal him. Maybe sometime over the summer, this will heat up once he's healthy, but it's been known that like, they can't really do anything right now because of the shoulder. And I don't necessarily think the market was, you know, booming as it was anyways. He's got more clout than Baker Mayfield, but he never had a huge, robust market, you know, where the 49ers are going to get a first-round pick for him.
Yeah, not news. It was a very Captain Obvious statement to me.
Yeah, not news. Although I do find it curious that once upon a time, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch said they had multiple mid-round picks being offered to him for Jimmy G's services. And now they can't find a trade partner.
I mean, it just takes a mid-round pick to get Jimmy G. I'll take him. Like, Jimmy G is good, man. Listen, we're acting like he's not good.
Listen, if it wasn't for them being in the same division, I think Jimmy G in Seattle is a perfect fit.
Yeah. Perfect.
Well, that's why I think the Panthers, I mean, they're still hungry for a quarterback. I can still see that over Baker Mayfield.
I thought, listen, is Matt Ryan better for the Colts than Jimmy G would have been? You sure about that? Right now? At this point in his career?
Yeah, I'm
know
probably
that.
Sure about that.
Yeah.
I just saw Jimmy G. Beat Aaron Rodgers. Just saw it.
I'll take Matt Ryan.
In the playoffs.
I'll take Matt Ryan.
Okay, you could have. I would have taken Jimmy G.
I will have him. I'll take him, Andy. Yeah.
Thank you, Jeremy. As always. You want some hot news? Here's some hot news. The Cowboys are actually flying under the radar. And that scares the hell out of me as a Giants fan.
What? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Check out what Dan Orlovsky had to say about Baker Mayfield.
I think Baker Mayfield walks away as the steal of the NFL draft.
ESPN NFL insider Dan Graziano with us now.
We had a running joke with Foxworth and Saturday about Monday Dan Orlovsky, because he always said some splashy thing that provided great content for the rest of the week, right? So like on Tuesday, we loved Monday Dan.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Some things cannot be repeated after a commercial break.
Nah, man, I can't do the show with you guys anymore, man.
Chris Canty in for Keyshawn Johnson today. So, you know, we talk about Monday Dan. Dan Orlovsky on Mondays shows up usually on Get Up and says something that gets people talking. Well, Dan Orlovsky, guys, ranked his top five NFC teams this past Monday on Get Up. Monday Dan, reliable. Would you like to hear what they are?
Oh, absolutely.
At five is the Eagles.
Okay.
Top teams in the NFC, top five. At four is the Packers. Three, the Saints.
Wow, okay.
Two, the Bucks. One, the Los Angeles Rams, defending champs.
I love the engagement. Thoughts?
Well, Chris Canty, as a former Cowboy, I'm interested, and let me tell you why I'm interested in this, okay? It feels to me like every year the Cowboys reload and there's someone at ESPN, usually multiple people, and a lot of, this is the Cowboys' year, they're finally going to win the Super Bowl, and of course they don't. I have not heard that from anyone right now. There's no sense. Yes, this is the Cowboys' year, and that makes me nervous because it means they're flying under the radar. As a Giants fan, you know, you've been a part of it.
Yep.
No one's talking about the Giants. Mess around and win a Super Bowl. What do you think about the Cowboys not being in his top five?
I think it's appropriate, Max. And as a Giants fan, I don't think you have anything to worry about. The Cowboys have some flaws that I think is going to make it hard for them to overcome. And chief among them is the offensive line. Like, remember, they got rid of Lyle Collins as a cap casualty. You're talking about a guy that has over 70-plus starts in the National Football League, and most of those at right tackle, and he's in his mid-20s. That is going to be a significant loss. And don't give me this mess about Terrence Steele stepped in and played every bit as good, because Terrence Steele ain't as talented as Lyle Collins. You lost Connor Williams in free agency. He signed for a bag down in Miami.
That's a big loss.
That's their left guard. Now,
versatile, good.
It sounds like what they're going to do is give Tyler Smith, this year's first-round draft pick, an opportunity at right tackle and at left guard. But if you heard during the NFL draft, Mel Kiper, the first thing he led with the breakdown on Tyler Smith was he's a penalty waiting to happen. It's not exactly what you want to hear for the team that led the National Football League in penalties last year. So the offensive line is a huge concern. Tyron Smith ain't played a full season since 2015. Tyler Biadasz has been a disappointment at center. So
what about
the kid
out of North Dakota? Where was he? They took a tackle in an offensive lineman anyway in the fifth.
Alec Lindstrom.
Matt Waletzko, out of North Dakota.
I don't know much about him. But here's what I'm saying, Max. Their offensive line, which used to be a strength, a big part of the identity of this team, is not going to be that in 2022.
What about that, Jay?
One of the things I want to address that I think needs to be said now, because we've been talking about this particular subject matter on this show for a while, ever since he got the bag, was Dak Prescott. Right. So coming off injury, last year was a marginal year for Dak. We expected more, didn't get it. Their defense made improvement. Right. But don't we expect Dak Prescott, despite all these challenges that you just mentioned, to raise the level of this team? If they don't finish in the top five of the NFC, isn't that to a degree an indictment on the quarterback that got chosen as, look, they're a run-dominant offense. I've heard Key talk about this multiple times. So that's what they need to do. He's not going to be the quarterback that drop back and passes the ball, 35, 40 times per game. Isn't that the case? Wouldn't that be an indictment on Dak Prescott?
No doubt about it, Jay, because they're paying him like he's a quarterback that can elevate the play of everybody around him. Like
that's my biggest headline out of all this stuff. Dak.
Jay, at some point he got to show up. And think about it. Dan Orlovsky's rankings – they have the Philadelphia Eagles as the fifth team, and I don't disagree with that. I think Philly is the favorite in the NFC East going into 2022, and that might be the biggest indictment on Dak Prescott. The fact that you're getting $40 million a year, and yet a guy that's a second-year starter in Jalen Hurts has a better chance to lead his team to a division
title. Here's my problem with the Cowboys.
That's what it feels like.
I feel you.
Look, they drafted – the reason they built that great offensive line, in 5 years, they used four – of their first rounders in 5 years, four out of 5 years on offensive linemen. That's how they built that line.
Yeah.
Back 8-10 years ago, whatever it was. Zach Martin instead of Johnny Manziel, all those kind of picks, right? But it did not result in a Super Bowl. And I think of the Giants when they needed a left tackle bad, they just moved David Deal from left guard to left tackle. They thought he could do the job, and he did. And they won. And you guys won the Super Bowl,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I'm just a little nervous that the pressure everyone keeps – we keep paying lip service. There's so much pressure on Dak. But, in fact, is there really? Because if he falls flat, what are we going to say? It's the coach. Then they're going to go talk to Sean Payton or whoever, and they're going to change the coach. So, Dak still has a year or two of runway.
Nah, Dak got a pass last year because he was coming off of that ankle surgery.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's why he got a pass. But let's not forget
– they paid him.
Hold on, Max. Let's not forget what happened in the wild card game because a lesser quarterback came in – and beat the Dallas Cowboys in Jerry's world. That happened. Jimmy Garoppolo beat Dak Prescott, and the guy that you would want to have the ball at the end of the game and managing that two-minute drill had that opportunity, and what happened?
So did Aaron Rodgers.
One of the biggest gaffes that we saw in last year's playoffs and how they handled that end-of-game scenario. You don't expect the quarterback getting paid $40 million a year to come up short in that fashion.
But if he falls flat, we're going to blame McCarthy.
Well, that's fine. We can blame McCarthy, but that doesn't take the pressure off of Dak Prescott. He's got to be a force multiplier at some point, Max. You got rid of Amari Cooper. You've got a running back in Ezekiel Elliott that can't break tackles anymore.
And Max, that also takes pressure off Dak.
Your offense doesn't have any – well, Max, you're saying it takes pressure off him. I think he has to do more in order for the Dallas Cowboys to get to where they want to be.
I think what Max is saying, and I agree with him to an extent because I agree with you, I think there is a ton of pressure on Dak Prescott. But since Sean Payton is waiting there, looming over the franchise –
there are built-in excuses.
It just feels like there's a built-in excuse for Dak. Yeah, it does. It feels like that.
Does a $40 million a year quarterback need –
I'm with you. I'm just trying to tell you how people are going to pan it out.
Plus the rise of Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, these younger Josh Allen. Suddenly his position in the league isn't what it quite used to be. Speaking of quarterbacks that need to step up, Key says one quarterback is being set up for massive success. That's next.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.